Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A very special welcome to St. Benedict's. And if you're visiting us for the first time, we hope you feel at home among us. It's great to have you. There was a little boy who wanted to go out fishing, but he had a little problem. He knew that once he asked his mother for permission, that she would suggest that he take along his baby sister. And so he went and said, "Mom, I want to go fishing, but do I have to take her?" "Yes, I've told you, you must take your little sister. She's only 6 or 7 years old, and she needs her big brother to help her along, and so please take your sister with you." "But Mom, don't you remember? Last time she talked so much and so loudly, she scared away all my fish." "Do not worry," the mother said. "I will speak to her, and she'll be nice and quiet." And so the mother had a big chat with her little girl, said, "Please be quiet while your brother's fishing. Just help out. Do what you want to do, but please do not make noise so that he'll be happy and catch some fish." And so shortly after that, the boy and girl left their home with all their equipment to go fishing in the nearby lake. And the mother noticed that just a few minutes passed, and all of a sudden she could hear them coming back into the house. "Something is wrong." And so the mother said, "Son, what happened? Why are you back so soon? Did you catch anything?" He said, "Are you kidding? Was she making a lot of noise? Was she speaking very loudly?" "Oh, no. You know what she did this time? She ate all my bait." The party was over. When we look at the gospel and we look at the disciples of Jesus, we realize they had a life. The gospel tells us very clearly they were fishermen. They had a profession. They had something they were dedicated to. They had a life plan. And if we put aside some of the romantic scenarios that we imagine in our lives, we can imagine how the disciples of Jesus were out there fishing, doing their thing, and it must have been very, very hard for them to let go of all of that, as the gospel says twice, immediately change their course of action, and now they were disciples. Now they were following Jesus. It's good for us to think about this 2,000 years later. Because so much of being a disciple of Jesus has not really changed. It's difficult to follow the Lord. It's difficult to follow God's way. It's difficult to take a detour on our own plans. It's difficult to put aside whatever it is that we're up to in order to follow God's way. And so perhaps the first lesson in today's very short gospel, the first lesson about discipleship, is that a disciple must be willing to stretch. A disciple must be flexible enough to allow God's plans to become part of our plans. And that only happens when we're able to be flexible. I don't know how many of you remember that very popular toy from the 70s, the Stretch Armstrong. You remember Stretch Armstrong? They used to make them really big, and you could stretch that thing, boy, as far as you wanted. You know, you could stretch it here and stretch it there, remember? But there's one thing about Stretch Armstrong. No matter how far you stretched it, it would come right back to its original shape in just a matter of seconds. Am I right? You could stretch it, pull it from here, the arm, the leg, the head. Boy, right away, that thing would just come right back. And if you think about it, that's how we are. By the grace of God, we're constantly being challenged and stretched. We're constantly being called to so much more. But we tend to go back to our comfort zone. We tend to go back to our ways, and we have a hard time adopting the ways of discipleship, allowing God's way to become our way. And so we can be stretched by the grace of God, but sometimes our narrow vision leads us right back to where we like to be. A lesson closer to home. Every time you see these hurricanes pass, it's always amazing to me. Ruhama and I had the honor of being guests in the Diocese of Puerto Rico where I preached a clergy retreat. And I remember going after a few days of retreat, just looking in Old San Juan, the beautiful old colonial buildings and all that, and seeing how these amazing large oak trees that were totally uprooted took the sidewalk and part of the streets with it and just totally fell. And a few feet away, there were palm trees joyfully standing up straight. And you could just imagine them through the storm. You could imagine those palm trees just bending. And now that the storm had passed, they were standing up straight again. They have the flexibility to survive in the midst of the storm. As disciples of Jesus Christ, you and I are called to that kind of flexibility, that kind of stretching, because life will stretch us, doesn't it? Life stretches us. And the winds do blow, and the storms come. So being disciples of Jesus is first and foremost an exercise in true flexibility. Are we able to change our plans in order to live out the plans that God may have in store for us? Discipleship also requires a listening heart, the kind of listening heart that is able to hear the voice of the Spirit, the invitation of Jesus to take on something new. That's not always easy. Again, we have a tendency to prefer our comfort zone. Why do all that? It's too much work. Why take this ministry on or that ministry on when I'm so happy doing what I'm doing now? But you know, in order to grow in the image and likeness of God, we've got to be able to really, really listen to the will of God and to respond with faith. I was talking to a friend of mine. I know the family quite well, and they've had a very successful family business. Now, you can imagine, like many immigrants, they came to this country with nothing, and they began from zero, and they've built up an empire, an incredible successful business. And one day, I was sitting at one of their family celebrations, and I was sitting with the CEO, and we began to talk, and I said, you know, how come part of your family who was also traditionally in this business that didn't really flourish too much, but your part of the family just took off, and they've created a huge, very successful family business? He says, you know, Father, he said, I used to have a list of 15 things. Listen to me, 15 things that made you very, very successful. And after all these years in business, I've narrowed it down to 3. And I believe that's what we had that maybe those others did not have. And he said to me, the first is passion. Passion for what we do. The second is engagement. We need to be connected with our community and understand the market that we're in. And he said, the third is urgency. Because many businesses just wait for the next wave to arrive and they kind of sit around and look at each other. But urgency makes you go out and figure out the next best thing. After I listened to him for a while, I was fascinated by what he was saying, but I said to him, you know, so much of that applies to the church and to the gospel. And he said to me, Father, that's why I'm sharing it with you. As disciples of Jesus, we must be passionate about the message of the gospel. And being passionate means that we take in the message of the kingdom. And just as Jesus was preparing to go out and announce the kingdom, he brought others along. He didn't just do it himself. Think about it. He brought others along. He encouraged others with enthusiasm to go out into the world and to preach the kingdom. Without that sense of passion, we really cannot be disciples in this world, especially in a world that every day seems to grow in its indifference, right, toward organized religion. Every time I hear that term, organized religion, it makes me laugh. Because I don't know about you, but to me, it seems like we're pretty disorganized. Right? We've been around for 2,000 years, and we're still here in spite of ourselves. We're pretty disorganized. But ultimately, God is still calling. The Spirit is still speaking. And as disciples that are discerning in the world, we must be willing to listen and then go out with passion to proclaim the good news. Engagement is so important also, because sometimes, you know, here we are. Here's our church. Here's our building. Here's the establishment. And we don't know what's happening across the street. Sometimes we don't know what's happening across the street. You know, almost every day, someone walks onto this property and asks me, Father, what time is the Spanish service? They say it in Spanish, of course. I just had a gentleman right now. Sent them over to the nearby Roman parish that has a Spanish service. Said, we'll have one soon. Sometimes we don't know what's happening around us. Maybe we're scared of it. Maybe we're threatened by it. I don't know. But look at what's happening around. That's engagement. We must be engaged in the community that surrounds us in order to see what is really happening here. Because if not, we stay inside the fishbowl. I don't know how many of you have seen my Facebook page, but I have a picture of my Facebook page where there's two fishbowls. Have you seen it? There's one that's full of fish over here, full of goldfish. And one little goldfish decided to jump onto the other one that's empty. And I love that picture because it tells me that's what discipleship's about. Are we willing to take the risk to go beyond ourselves and engage in the community around us to really see how the church, how God can be present through the church in all of the community, in all that is happening out there? So engagement is really important for disciples. The third thing is when he said to me, you know, urgency. If you look at today's gospel twice in those few verses, it says immediately, did you see that? They immediately left their nets. They immediately followed him. There's a sense of urgency in the gospel that sometimes we forget. And here we are, 2,000 years later, and in many parts of our world, Christianity must be rediscovered. Christianity must be rethought. Because the fact is, yes, we have the gospel of Jesus. Yes, we have this gospel that comes to us with this rich tradition and all of the beauty of the centuries, but we can't stay there. That message must speak to the 21st century. It must speak to people today.
And so it's a great challenge to proclaim the gospel with this sense of urgency. Because guess what? It is urgent. Too many people still do not know the love of Jesus. They know about the rules of the institution, unfortunately. They know about everything that turns them off about the church or religious people. But they haven't been embraced with love and welcomed with love to join us in seeking to be disciples in this world. And that's very important. I want to share with you some thoughts out of this little tiny book. It's a book by the former Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. Rowan Williams, called Being Disciples. As I was doing some spiritual reading the last several days, I ran across this, and God kind of put it like the way he always does, puts things for you here as I was preparing to preach. And this is what Dr. Williams says about being disciples that I love, I want to share with you. He says, we need to ask whether we come to prayer and try to live as Christ's disciples in the expectation of being stretched. Do I expect there to be a bit more of me at the end of a period of prayer or worship than there was at the beginning? Because that is really what it's about. Whether there will be a little more of me afterwards, or to change the metaphor, will God have cleared away some of the clutter during that time and created a little more space for his life? As disciples of Jesus, when we go to prayer, are we willing to be stretched? Are we willing to be challenged? Are we willing to let go of our own need to control? Are we willing to put our lives in God's hands and let God be God? I don't know how many of you have seen that famous license plate on some people's cars. It's kind of an old thing. I haven't seen too many lately, but if you look at some old cars, you'll see it. God is my co-pilot. Do you remember that? Oh, every time I see that, it drives me nuts. God is my co-pilot. And then someone came up with a bumper sticker as a follow-up to that. He says, if God is your co-pilot, it's time for you to switch seats. We may not be so far from those first disciples 2,000 years ago. They were women and men like us who seek to follow God's way. But the reason we're here is because they became willing to be stretched by God. They allowed themselves to be stretched by God. They were willing to bend. They were willing to listen. Ultimately, unless we are ready and willing to be stretched, to be flexible, to bend, we may never truly discover the fullness of what it means to be God's disciples. Unless we are willing to be stretched by the grace of God, we may never hear what God is really asking of us. The challenge to us today is that we too find the passion, the need for engagement, and sense the urgency of our call to be disciples of Jesus Christ. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.